This is episode 128 of UFO Encounters. In this episode, I'm reading from Becky Ferreira's book, First Contact, the story of our obsession with aliens. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast, and here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes. I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. I'm going to be reading from a section titled Possible Post-Detection Scenarios, and this is what Becky has written. There is a whole field of emerging research devoted to gaming out the likely public reactions to various first contact scenarios and the best official responses to this kind of monumental event. Here are three different visions of post-detection worlds and what they might mean for humanity. And I'm going to jump straight to scenario two. Exotic life on Titan sometime in the 2030s. If all goes to plan, NASA's Dragonfly rotorcraft will reach Saturn's moon Titan, where it will fly from location to location, searching for clues about the habitability of this strange world. The mission's scientific payload will include an instrument called a mass spectrometer that will be housed in the spacecraft's belly. Small samples of the surface will be placed in this interior chamber and vaporized to enable precise measurements of their chemical constituents. Scientists hope that these experiments will reveal the abundance of key organic molecules on the Titanian surface, which would shed light on the kind of prebiotic environments that eventually gave rise to life on Earth. Let's imagine that Dragonfly's spectrometer discovers a curious mix of complex organic molecules that exposes what may be a slow-motion metabolic process. The mission follows up with camera observations that hint at complex structures in the Titanian soil that could be interpreted as potential biosignatures. One hypothesis to explain the findings is that strange life forms use Titan's voluminous stores of liquid ethane and methane as a catalyst to produce self-replicating molecules over long timescales. Such a discovery, even if it were somewhat ambiguous, could potentially have bigger implications in our search for extraterrestrials than the detection of fossils on Mars, where life would have relied on water. The existence of life based on an entirely different biochemical origin and structure, as would be the case on Titan, would vastly expand the number of suitable, habitable environments in the universe. Even the most primitive kind of self-organizing organic chemistry in the lakes of Titan, an early step on the road to life, would be a momentous find, the planetary scientist Jonathan Lunine said in a 2008 lecture. It would tell us that life began independently multiple times in our solar system. Scenario 3. A repeating optical beacon. For decades, we have scanned the skies for artificial radio emissions from technologically advanced civilizations. Increasingly, however, scientists are also scanning the skies for much louder and brighter optical signals that could be sent into space with powerful transmitters far beyond the capacities of our own civilization. Suppose we spot a clear and unusual signature of a loud optical burst that appears to be coming from a location in our galaxy 20,000 light years from Earth. Analysis of the event reveals that it likely originated from an artificial laser system, rather than from a natural source. At this point, several premier optical facilities are tasked with observing the source location for further pulses. About 18 months after the initial detection, another identical pulse is observed, suggesting that there is a repeating signal at the light source. After another 18-month period, a third pulse is observed, confirming that the signals are a clockwork periodic event that is likely technological in origin. This scenario would trigger the steps outlined in the Declaration of Principles concerning activities following the detection of extraterrestrial intelligence. World governments would be expected to channel their scientific brainpower to inform the best methods for deciphering such a message, and then communicating these results to the global public. Any attempt to send a message back to the source would be strictly prohibited, although, somewhat worryingly, that doesn't necessarily mean that a rogue state or actor might not transmit a message anyway. A discovery of this nature would be a major breakthrough, regardless of whether the intent of the message was ever decoded. The detection of an artificial beacon in space would, by itself, prove that extraterrestrial intelligences exist, a revelation that would constrain estimates about the abundance of other biospheres and civilizations. But in this example, the enormous distance to the source of the beacon would prevent two-way communication on any kind of normal human timescale. Even if humans decided to send a reply, it would take, at minimum, 40,000 years to hear back again, assuming the civilization is even still extant. So, while this type of event would answer our most fundamental question about the universe, it probably wouldn't have much of a functional impact on our daily lives. We'd still be loners over here looking at loners over there. The plan for now. More than 30 years ago, members of the International Academy of Astronautics provided a document known as the Declaration of Principles concerning activities following the detection of extraterrestrials. It sketches out a 9-point game plan in the event of an alien detection. Number 1. International consultations should be initiated to consider the question of sending communications to extraterrestrial civilizations. Number 2. Consultations on whether a message should be sent and its content should take place within the Committee on the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space of the United Nations, and within other governmental and non-governmental organizations, and should accommodate participation by qualified, interested groups that can contribute constructively to these consultations. Number 3. These consultations should be open to participation by all interested states and should be intended to lead the recommendations reflecting a consensus. Number 4. The United Nations General Assembly should consider making the decision on whether or not to send a message to extraterrestrial intelligence and on what content of that message should be, based on recommendations from the Committee on the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space and from governmental and non-governmental organizations. Number 5. If a decision is made to send a message to extraterrestrial intelligence, it should be sent on behalf of all humankind, rather than from individual states. Number 6. The content of such a message should reflect a careful concern for the broad interests and well-being of humanity, and should be made available to the public in advance of transmission. Number 7. As the sending of a communication to extraterrestrial intelligence could lead to an exchange of communications separated by many years, consideration should be given to a long-term institutional framework for such communications. Number 8. No communication to extraterrestrial intelligence should be sent by any state until appropriate international consultations have taken place. States should not cooperate with attempts to communicate with extraterrestrial intelligence that do not conform to the principles of this declaration. Number 9. In their deliberations on these questions, states participating in this declaration and United Nations bodies should draw on the expertise of scientists, scholars, and other persons with relevant knowledge. The protocols offer a basic roadmap for responding to an alien detection, but many experts believe they need to be updated to account for modern advances, such as the rise of social media or current geopolitical tensions. Researchers have presented fascinating quandaries about the role of the military in a post-detection world, the risk of espionage or terrorism in the fallout, and the diverse cultural impacts of such a momentous event. In this episode, I was reading from Becky Ferreira's book, First Contact: The Story of Our Obsession with Aliens. If you would like to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/alienufopodcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.